Happy Pentecost, Church. This passage in Genesis is probably the originating situation that necessitated thousands of years later a Pentecost, right? The scattering of people in their quest for collective power, coercive power, and then the scattering as a result, and then God gathering in a whole new way, of which we here at Church of All Nations is just one small demonstration. The power of the Holy Spirit is a counter to the quest for power among human beings. That's what it means that the Holy Spirit has power. It's that we don't need to grasp that kind of power for ourselves, but that if we are filled with the Holy Spirit and share this generous Spirit of God with one another, we will be empowered to live the lives that we need to. It's not easy to do that on our own. And so we invite the Holy Spirit into our lives together, and in that life together, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we are able to see growth and healing, renewal and transformation in our lives. Part of what we do several times a year is allow the voices of the people to just come forth spontaneously. Some of us have thought about saying something before the church for a few weeks in preparation, and some of us may not, but it doesn't matter. Please feel free to be still and know that God is God, and to let our whole being be a vessel for the Holy Spirit to fill and then to speak through. The church is a priesthood of all believers. And a few of us have been, we feel, called by the Holy Spirit to serve as coach and equippers and encouragers in that work of our being, each one of us, priests. But that is in no way means that the coaches are exclusively the priests. All of us are priests and pastors and preachers and evangelists, and some of us are more polished than others, but none of us are exempt from Christian leadership. Some of us will testify out loud, and others of us will be sitting here testifying through our body. And if you feel something deeply, I assure you, through the Holy Spirit, we will feel it. So all of us here are called to testify. Some up here through voice, and others just in our pews as we embody the Holy Spirit. But let us not block the movement of the Holy Spirit, but give in to God's leadership in our lives so that we can share God's generous Spirit with one another. Who'd like to come forward first to talk about how God is working in your life? Claire? And each person, please introduce yourself.
안녕하세요. 제 이름은 김은혜입니다. 저는 한국 사람입니다. 울을 거예요. Um, 미국에서 자랐으니까 영어 더 잘해요. 근데 할머니, 할아버지 같이 자랐으니까 한국말 좀 이해할 수 있습니다. 근데 한국말 지난 학기 전에 한국말 잘 못했습니다. 근데 지난 학기 한국어 수업 처음에 들었습니다. Okay, so my name is Claire, and I'm Korean, and I grew up in the U.S., and so that's why I can speak English better than I can speak Korean. But I grew up with my grandparents, and so I can understand some Korean. But last semester, since I started taking classes at the U of M, I started taking Korean, and that's been very important to me this year. Just like realizing that I am like Korean. I feel like, I mean, you know that you're like Korean or like whatever ethnicity you are, but sometimes you don't really realize how large a part of that you have inside yourself. And so learning Korean and being able to speak it and read it and write it has been just really eye-opening. And like, I was able, so my grandparents who had been living with us moved to Korea like 4 years ago. And so sometimes we talk on the phone together. And usually I'll like respond in English or I'll just say like, nah, which means yes. To everything that they say. But what was really cool was that I was able to speak with my 할머니, with my grandma, in Korean, like the whole time when I talked to her. So I, that's one of my biggest accomplishments so far. And I was also able to write my parents' birthday cards in Korean, and it makes me really happy. And whenever I'm able to speak Korean with my parents or just practice it, I'm so happy. So I feel very blessed this year to have gotten to know that part of me. And also, being at the U of M, there's a large like Asian American community, and being able to meet other people who I can, you know, relate to has been just exceptional. So I'm very thankful for all these opportunities this year. Thank you.
We're proud of you, Claire. Also, we sang a song in Korean earlier, and we sang a song in Swedish. I think we have settled without a shadow of a doubt that Korean is easier. Please introduce yourself.
Hi, my name is Becca Jo Bredesen. Kauhin wala, kauhin tsala hawetok, jiske hin anap hawetok dinani, you hun celebration jiske ku wala in dinani. I grew up in the mountains of Guatemala, speaking a Mayan Indian language. What I just spoke to you was in Acateca, and I was talking about the celebration that we are having now after 47 years. May 2nd, my family and I moved to Guatemala, May 2nd of 1969, and that began a 47-year journey to the translation of the entire Bible into Acateca. And at this time, 47 years later, the Bible in print is headed from South Korea to the Akateka people for the first time. And that is the big thing that's been going on in our house this last year, was finishing up. My dad was reading, and he would tell me every day, I'm halfway through Isaiah. I'm three quarters of the way through Isaiah. I finally started Jeremiah. Got Obadiah and Ruth done in one day. Oh, if you can imagine what it's like to have to read three different languages and compare and contrast, making sure that the language is saying what the other languages are saying so that the Bible comes out as God intended it to relay his good news to those people in their heart language. Because if you can imagine only having the Bible in, say, Swedish, for you to read, and maybe you speak Swedish, probably you don't, but that's what these people have been dealing with. In 1981, they did get the New Testament in their language, but we as a family never got to celebrate with them because our lives were in danger. We literally, my brother flew down the first boxes of the New Testament in 1981. We dropped them off in the town I went to school in for someone to bus out to the villages, and we fled the country with our lives in danger. In September, our whole family gets to go down to Guatemala for 3 weeks and celebrate with the people in the villages in Guatemala and celebrate that they get the entire Bible in their language, in their heart language. And it really means more to be able to read the Word of God in your heart language than it does to read it in a language that you may understand, but there's something about reading it in your heart language that means so much more, and it relays so much more to you. So thank you, and we invite all of you to come with us in September.
We're already taking 30 people.
She gets to celebrate her birthday with only 300 to 500 of the perfect strangers that she's never met in Guatemala. So sweet 16 to her.
Did you want to say anything?
No.
Okay.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
My name is Helena Conway. I'm from Liberia. I'm from one of the, because in Liberia we have 16 tribes. But you see, like in Lofa, where I came from, we have our own culture, our own traditional, that is our family member. When it comes to our children, we don't joke. But I want to bless God for all what he had done in my life, in the life of my children. I'm so grateful. Like yesterday, somebody and myself were talking, and they asked me, are you going your 40? I said, what? 40? I said, I'm entering my 60. I'm 59. And he was like, no, that's not true. And I brought my ID. He said, no, people take different age. I said, no, this is my age. So I want to bless God for his strength, for his breathing, for everything. And I want to bless God in a special way for especially my son. Oh, sometimes it gets so tough, you know. I like America, especially when it comes to children and the husband. Each time his wife caused a lot of trouble, I remind him, I say, Billy, he say, yes, 5 children, with 5 children support, it's not easy. So leave the attitude of your wife and just focus on the children. And you say, well, ma, that's not easy. I said, myself, it was not easy when I was with your dad. I went through a whole lot of struggle with him. But I look at you guys. So are you going to walk all of your children? Who will take care of them? And yesterday we talked, and he said, Mama, thank you for all your strength. That's not my strength, but that is the strength of God. And I want to bless the church so much. Since I got into the church, I'm the happier woman in this world. I thank God for everything. And I thank God for my sister, Laura. And I thank God for my sweet pastor. And all the members of the church.
Hello, church. I'm David. I've been here now for more than a year. I've had my anniversary, I think, in either March or February. I wanted to show a painting I drew almost a year ago. This was the fire God sent to consume the altar and water that Elijah set up that I painted on my sister's birthday party. For me, it's a representation of how we often desire certainty in our faith, and in reality, what we get is the still small voice of God, and which is more like intuition. And one thing, I painted this in like in June, and about a month later, the place where I was living, just about 10 minutes from here, was struck by lightning, and the downstairs where my sister and I lived had extensive water and smoke damage, but this painting was at my parents' house, and so it got spared. And that event kind of pushed me over because I was bullied a lot when I was in 7th, 8th, 9th grade, and I have some social anxieties because of that still, and that event pushed me to join this church as a member. Partially for the wrong reasons, but I wanted the cheap rent again, and to be closer to the church. But it was a very important that I joined. I'm very thankful for it. And one thing people don't know about me is that I tend to trust my intuition a lot. And sometimes when I talk about I'm talking about trusting my intuition, I act like I have certainty. It sounds like I have certainty, but that's not really what I'm trying to say. It's more like I'm just trusting my intuition because I do miss cues sometimes. I don't always get nonverbals very well, and I guess part of my compensation I got from that was I got an intuition I trust, and so so this is when you want certainty about what's going to happen in life or what's going on. Sometimes some crazy stuff happens, but it doesn't really work out. but there, you still have the still small voice of God who will always be with you.
Amen. Thank you, David.
So I was up here with the same mic in the fall, Thanksgiving, I think we do this. And I had said at that point, it was almost that very sermon, Pastor Jin had said something that the remaining clutches of my rationalistic Greek, Roman, European, somewhat Christian faith had this struggle with, and then he cited a bunch of Bible, and I realized that it was basically a Greek and Roman and European and only vaguely Christian faith in a sense. And in a sense, that faith kind of died that day, in a sense. And what I said up here, and I felt excited when I said this. I said, I'm excited to get to know this non-rationalistic Palestinian Jesus in everyone's presence. And I felt happy and I was crying then, but also I felt scared and was crying from that. And talking to Silky afterwards, I got to say why I was scared. And why I was scared was that saying that, so I have a faith that's now lost, and I have this eagerness, or components of my faith that are lost, and I have this eagerness to regrow this new faith. Here with you all, this non, you know, trying to grow a faith, hoping that I would grow a faith that was not so bound up with those structures, those other baked in structures that weren't actually of God, really. But the fear that I realized is, what if I don't regrow anything? What if I'm nothing? And my whole life I've been so accustomed to having a lot of certainty, not even certainty, or even sometimes it would be certainty about uncertainty, or, you know, having just knowing, just knowledge and belief, believing and thinking and rationalizing and deducing and seeking truth has been so important to me my whole life. And in a sense, I feel like when I sort of lost that version of my faith, this new exciting version of knowing the non-rationalistic Palestinian Jesus did not spring into being for me like my optimism might have had it. And instead, I've been saying that I have a dilapidated or kind of contentless, neutral, washed up, almost absence of faith, or what I understood faith to be, which is belief, I guess. I talked to my tocayo. Tocayo is Spanish for name twin, which is Daniel Perez. We're name twins. And I told him that I felt like I had sort of lost any faith, or lost the bulk of my faith. And he said to me, "But you were loving your friends. I have some friends. His wife is very sick. She's allergic to everything. She eats the same two meals, and she only eats one meal per day because any other foods would send her to the hospital or just kill her. And so I've been with them, helping more lately because it's gotten worse." Thanks. I guess I feel really prepared to be with them. Maybe by this church, or maybe by just Hard Knocks, but I think to sit with them in the absence of any answers, or in the absence of seeking any particular truth about it, but just being there and being cared for caring for them without answers. I think Pastor Jin and that's Silky's husband. Help me. That's just, tell me. John, thank you. I know that. I'm just, you know, you get up here, whatever. sat with me and gave me so much grace to be in an empty faith space. They told me that. They said, "You don't need to rush to a faith. You don't need to rush to answers or knowing or even truth seeking or anything. Just be and give yourself space." And in a sense, you all are giving me that space, and I'm very grateful. And I feel like you have told me that God is giving me that space. I'm very grateful. Thank you.
We love you, Daniel. Was Amanda not first? What's going on? Can't wait to hear this.
Let's talk about that. Hi, I'm Amanda Rangham. I'm usually one of the first people up here. I love Pentecost Sunday, and this morning I don't feel like testifying, and I think that's my testimony, is that I normally just about rush the stage on Pentecost Sunday, and I love this church. And normally I wake up on this Sunday and I just feel overwhelmed with gratitude and connectedness to this congregation. And I'm honestly and totally transparently just in a season of transition. We've had a number of families that are just really important to me leave our congregation recently. I'm grieving that. I'm feeling disconnected from our congregation. I had a difficult conversation with Pastor Jin a few weeks ago that I'm still wrestling with and honestly just processing, and I don't feel like a can poster child this morning. So I think that's my testimony, is that I just feel like I'm in transition. I'm not feeling super connected. I'm not feeling super grateful. I'm not feeling super bright and on. And I think that if that's what you expect from me, that's great. And I love being that person for you and for this congregation. But I love this church because I don't have to be that. I don't have to put up a facade. I don't have to be something that you need me to be. I don't have to be a perfect mother. I don't have to be a perfect wife. I don't have to be a perfect leader in this congregation. It doesn't always have to be the perfect church for me. It doesn't always have to be the best Sunday. And that's okay. So this morning I'm kind of tired and I'm feeling a little bit disconnected, and I don't quite know what the future looks like for me in this congregation and what my community looks like and what my faith looks like. And I'm trying to grow and trying to be a better mom and trying to be more faithful, and I don't have it all figured out today and don't quite have a lot of energy around that. So my testimony is just that that's okay. And I know you guys love me anyway. And I think for those of us who show up on Sunday mornings sometimes not quite sure why we got out of bed in the first place, I think those Sundays are okay too. And I really love this congregation, and I really love that wherever I'm at or whoever I am, when I walk through those doors is just perfectly okay, and I don't have to be anything else for you. And that's where I'm at today.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Good morning, church.
Good morning, family.
My name is Kendra Perez, and I'm so glad to be here with all of you. I just want to share, yesterday I was at an event that was hosted by Isaiah, and I helped lead a portion of it that was reflection and testimony. And I feel like I got to share some of the challenging pieces of my immigration experience with my family, the way that our family was exploited by this process, and express anger and also understand clearly that it has to do with systemic things that then hurt my family and continue to hurt our community. And I feel like I was able to do that because I know all of you, and I am so grateful to be a part of this community where my family is like just another immigrant family. Helps my dad make a lot more sense to me sometimes. but also just am so grateful to be a part of this community that loves us for who we are and helps us to understand not only what we're experiencing in the challenges of growing up and becoming responsible adults, maybe, and also to understand how our society is functioning and how we seek to create something new with each other in the way that we practice our community economics of community housing and trying and failing and trying and failing and things, all these things where we share meals and we share our lives. And I'm so grateful to know that I have this foundation which has like set me and shaped me. And I feel like I was excited, and like afterwards they're like, you had this room in your hand, and I was like, that's cool. I don't really care what you have to say. Because I know when my community is there and supports me and loves me that I'm okay. And so yeah, I'm just grateful for all of you.
Amen. They come two by two.
Morning, church. I'm Tocayo, Daniel. I'm glad that Amanda started, you know, this thing about struggles. It's been a few weeks. It's been a few months of crying, praying. I don't know what it is, but I've been feeling lonely. And, you know, I tell Kendra, PJ said before we got married, marriage doesn't cure loneliness. It's not a cure for loneliness, and it's true. Kendra is my best friend, but yeah, I don't know what it is. I've been feeling disconnected. I hear people leaving, and I think, you know, it's just one of those things that I'm like, I don't know what it is, and I can turn things into myself and say, how did I not reach out? How did I not do more? How, you know, I could have gotten to know this family or whatever, but I think it's just been a lot of reflection and crying and praying and struggling with what it means to be a part of this church and what does it mean for me to be the church, because people are the church, not the building. And so, and I think I'm also thinking about my mom's health, and we're going to Mexico. Ken and I are going to Mexico. It'll be my first time in 15 years. And so, my brother was deported last March, and so it'll be my first time. Reuniting and with this election going on, you know, my parents are still undocumented, and so to think that Trump could become president, and so, immigration issues, they're not far removed, and I'm not the only one, you know? And so my family could be separated, and I don't know, it's scary, so I think that's where I'm at, and so, and like Amanda said, like, sometimes I try to be, like, you know, this poster child and perfect and all these things. And so I've been trying to practice more, like, you know what? Don't be so boastful. Like, just serve. Like, you know, care for people. Take care of their kids, or, you know, prepare meals or be a good husband. And so I think I'm in the mode of, like, grieving, praying, crying, and serving my community, because that's what I know to do best. So thank you.
Hi, everyone. My name is Lillian. First of all, I want to apologize to this congregation because I know that I've always been kind of doing my own thing. I kind of come and go as I please. I commit, you know, for a little while, then I disappear, and then I come back and I disappear. And it's like I've always kind of felt like I wanted to run away in some ways, but then I always end up coming back here. So I don't know. like, I even moved to Texas and then ended up coming back, and then I got a job in St. Paul, and then now I work actually just down the street, so it's like I keep coming closer and closer, and I don't know, I can't run away, I guess, or something's happening. but last night I was thinking about kind of, you know, what I want to, if I want to say anything today or what I'd want to say, and, you know, I kind of had a traumatic childhood. I mean, maybe some of you guys know, but some don't. But you know, I never really had a sense of family, so I think that's why I have a lot of dysfunction, and like why it's hard for me to engage in this community and, you know, really, really commit and, you know, things like that. I think I spend a lot of time alone, like trying to process a lot of that stuff, but. I want to thank you guys for giving me that time, you know, to do that, and you know, giving me space, and you know, letting me do that, like come back and you know, let me be me. But last night I was thinking, I was like crying, you know, this is my home. I mean, what am I trying to run away from? I always end up coming back here. So I do feel like, you know, God is trying to tell me this is your home. Like, stop trying to run away. So, I just want to thank you guys for that. So,
amen.
Hi, church. My name is Marie. I have been around the community, I think, since fall 2008 or 2009. Last year, I was in Madison for grad school. I have a similar story of I kind of would leave and come back and leave and come back and leave and come back. And grad school was really, really difficult. Just that really deep sense of isolation. And it hit me really hard that what I was running from was actually something that was coming with me when I ran, and I was just alone with that. So I came back, I left grad school, and this community just like embraced me wholeheartedly, and something about that process just drilled it deep into me that I need to be here, this is my home. And I was able to feel for the first time actual unconditional love. My family of origin has a lot of difficult dynamics and a lot of unhealthy patterns and relationships, so I never actually felt a love that wasn't transactional. And I have actually, like, at the core of my being, I had learned about it, I had heard about it, especially in the community, I had observed it, but having a deep, deep conviction that I'm loved for who I am, no matter what, it changed everything. And throughout the past year, that has allowed me to go on a journey that is a lot of ups and downs of processing various things from my childhood. I've learned about triggers that I have and different types of trauma incidences that allow me or that cause me to respond in different ways. And now I know, oh, I'm not just freaking out. Like, this is why I have these behaviors. And that has been really helpful and really tumultuous at times. And recently, especially, I've had a lot of grief for the relationships, for my family, for the things that they went through, the things that they never felt like unconditional love, and realizing how far back that goes, how deep the dehumanization of empire is in my family and my history. And a lot of times that leaves me feeling really exhausted, just really empty. All I have sometimes is grief, it feels like. And I think the love of this community has helped me learn that grief can be strength, and that if that is what I have to offer, then that is where I am, and that can be a gift as well. To bear witness to suffering, to understand what it means to be human, to have pain, to know that it is okay to sit in that space, and that there is healing too, bit by bit. There is resilience because of community, and it doesn't necessarily get better, and it doesn't necessarily go away, and there aren't quick fixes, but I can be there because you are there with me. So I'm very grateful for that.
Amen.
Morning, church.
Morning, Anna.
My name's Anna, and I've been here since 2010. And I think what I've recently been really thankful for with this church is I feel very comfortable here in the sense I feel like I can be myself. because in the rest of my life, I'm getting comfortable with feeling uncomfortable, as the things that I've learned in this church has kind of forced me to be bold and like take a stance and get used to being thrown under the bus by like my coworkers and my friends. But I feel like I can always come here and just feel like, okay, I can be myself and I can rest. And I think that's a rare thing because I work with a lot of people every single day, and a lot of people don't have that in their families and their communities, their friends. And I just feel really thankful for this church.
Amen.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
My name is Yeji Park, and I'm studying in Princeton Theological Seminary. And I was interned here for 1 month. Yeah, 2 years ago. I think of me as the disciple sent by God and Church of All Nations, and I just spent 1 year in Princeton. So I got here last night, and then there was a man who checked my passport, and then they said, oh, where are you going? And then I said, oh, I'm going back my home. And then he said, no, you're not. You're going to Minnesota instead of like South Korea, because your passport is like means that you're from South Korea. And then I said, no, I'm back my home. That's it. So first of all, I think of Church of All Nations as my real home. So I'm really happy to be here, and I'm staying in here for 2 weeks. So yeah. First of all, I'm really thankful, thank God for helping me to finish my 1 year in Princeton. I had a hard time, but like God sent me all the time good friends who are willing to share their notes, and we have like prayer meeting together, and they hang out with each other. Yeah, that was really precious and really happy. And I had a wonderful 1 year studying in Princeton, and I have 2 more years, so I should pray about that. Also, I'm so proud of Church of All Nations because like Princeton Seminary has like guest speakers like frequently, and the books that I read in Princeton, they all talk about, like, not all, but some of that, like, talk about Church of Nations as the best multicultural church in the world. So I'm really proud of it. Yeah, I took a picture whenever I just saw the Church of All Nations in the book. So I just sent it. I'll send it to him. Yeah. And also, my friends, many of my friends in Changshin, I mean, Presbyterian University and Theological Seminary in South Korea, they send me Facebook messages all the time, like when camp members and Pastor Jin visit Changshin, and Pastor Jin preach the best sermon there. And then some of my friends and the Facebook message, who is he? And then I said, oh, he's my pastor. And then I'm going back my home country, and I hope I had a really good experience or opportunity to talk about Church of All Nations and Pastor Jin to them. Because they are so impressed by Pastor Jin's preaching in Changshin, so they got to be interested in Church of All Nations as well. So I'm so blessed and thankful for that I am a member of Church of Nations. And I want to say thank you all, Church of All Nations and Pastor Jin. Even though I'm far away from here, Church of All Nations is still taking care of me as a member, and then Pastor Jin kept in touch with me all the time so that I feel more comfortable, and I mean mentally and like financially, because thanks to Church of All Nations, I got 100% scholarship this year. Amen. So I'm really thank you all. Yeah. Also, I'm going to have an interview with Twin Cities Presbytery for starting my ordination track. So I'm really blessed. I'm really thankful for starting my ordination process here. Lastly, my sweetest husband, Byung-woo, BW, wants me to say hi to church on behalf of him. And he's in Korea right now. And yeah, Byung-woo and I really thankful for God. And thank you all. I mean, thank you, Church of All Nations, because he got accepted by Columbia Theological Seminary with 95% scholarship. Yeah. So, he and I think, like, without Church of All Nations, and especially Pastor Huang and Pastor Jin, who wrote the recommendation for him, he cannot get accepted. So, I want to thank you, God. Thank you all. Yeah, I have wonderful, year, and then I'm going back to my home country. So, yeah, I'm staying here 2 weeks. So I want to say thank you, everybody. Thank you so much.
I did not pay Yeji any money for this, but just a little background. They're foreign national students, and without membership in a local U.S. church, they don't get more than half scholarship. So by being members here and being cared for here, they're able to get close to 100% scholarship. So very glad for that. All right.
Sorry, I snuck up. I had to sneak up here because my heart is pounding out of my chest. As many of you know, I talk a lot, but I do not like public speaking at all. I like to talk to like one person. Yeah, and that's why I don't teach either. Someone said I'm a teacher. I taught seventh grade math. I not enjoy that. I've been like, even when I'm not up here talking, I've been here 4 years now and I've yet to be up here because I just sit back there and I like sweat and I'm like, oh my God, like I want to say something, but I don't want to go up there. So I finally felt like I had something, I guess, kind of worth saying. This is the first time in my life I feel like I actually have people in my corner. I don't feel alone. And the reason that's so amazing is I've been so absent from church as well. Like, since I've had my daughter and we live 35 minutes away and I have back problems, so I just like avoid being in the car and avoid coming here. And I'm like, oh my gosh, if this was next to my house, I would just like never be at my house. I would just be at all the church events and everything. And it just really sucks. But yeah, I've been absent. But some of you know, 2 weekends ago, I had a miscarriage of our second child. And it was just amazing to like be able to come back to church and feel like I've been here the whole time and like everyone supported me on Facebook because I'm not a very private person. I wasn't trying to like, I don't know, I share everything. I'm just not private. I just can't believe like I'm standing here even. Like, I can't believe I'm not just in my bed totally shut down from the world because I'm just lucky enough that I got into therapy about a year ago and just been doing really well with the anxiety and depression and taking my meds. And I don't know, I'm just amazed at just everything that's happened in the past year and being part of the church, even though I've like not actually been here. I think that's all I wanted to say. I thought there was something else, but yeah, I didn't really plan anything out. I'm just like, you guys are all really awesome, and I just feel like you'll always be there, even though I'll be at my house like, oh, nobody cares, and it doesn't matter that I don't go to church and I don't go to any of the events. It doesn't matter to anyone that I'm not there and that I missed couples ministry all year, even though we're on the board and like made it to one meeting. Like, it's weird to feel like people care, kind of like what Marie said. You know, my family is like very codependent and transactional and like just, I mean, I literally don't think I ever had friends in my life until the last like couple of years. And I finally can say like I have people, they're actually my friends. I don't just have acquaintances. And I know that's just like cool to say, to feel like there's other people in my life and I'm not completely alone. Just thanks everybody for being there for me and for Tyler, because I know he tries to just be there for me and holds all his stuff in and doesn't have anyone really there for him, because I'm like going through it too. So yeah, just extra support for him would be really appreciated. Thanks.
Thank you, Christine. We love you, Christy. Hang in there. All right, I think this is going to have to be the last one. Because we got to eat.
It's good to see you, Christy and Tyler. Glad you're back. I'm Elder Shane Long. I shared last testimony Sunday, and I thought I should share you again. So I have a German background. My mom is fully German, and so I'm kind of breaking some ethnic taboos to talk about myself and my struggles. But I'm wearing a South African shirt today, and as my brother Seth Neiker would say, preach on. So,
amen.
So basically, I became an elder this last year, but I've been feeling very elder-less-like. I've had one of the most difficult work years of my career, and it's really undone me. And I've literally I've really had to incorporate other people's faith to have faith of my own. My wife has really been a rock these last few months, and Dr. Paul Moon has really stood beside me as I've kind of reestablished a relationship with my body, because when I left my previous job, all of a sudden my body began to kind of work against me. And being a former personal trainer, that's really weird when you think you know your body so well. And I've been having problems with insomnia and just pains and all sorts of weird things. And so to feel foreign in my body was a very powerless thing. And to have my professional identity kind of go under a complete revolution is a very powerless thing. And so a lot of the things that seem to be a kind of certainty, that things that I thought I could control, like money, a work identity, my body, basically all of those things have been stripped away the last few months. And I really had to incorporate the faith of others, like Paul, like my wife, like Jen, like some of the people that have come to minister to us, the Skirpitz's family and other people. And so I'm thankful that I can be an elder in weakness, and that I don't need to be strong to be a part of a fellowship that can help walk in this community. And I'm certainly not out of it. My body is still kind of trying to get the stress out of my system. But it's getting better, and I want to thank the people that have stood with us and walked with us. And yeah, I'm feeling like there's hope, but it's been a really good example of what communal faith means, and how my individual spirituality, you know, isn't enough. And to admit that I've been someone racked with fear, I've been very fearful these last 6 months, and that's not like me. That's a very humbling and embarrassing thing to say, but I can say that when I can lean on others. So thank you for how you've supported us, and I hope that we'll continue to support and lead you as a community. So thank you.
Amen. Thank you, congregation, each one of you, whether you have spoken verbally or not. I feel being up here, your spirit and our collective weakness and our collective strength, our collective fragility and our collective resilience. I'm so very proud to serve as your pastor and to hold your stories within my own self. I do think that we live in a deeply broken society that confuses coercion with strength. And that is why I think just about all of us here, without exception, have grown up being bullied. And the tragic thing is that most of us were bullied by our own parents. But they weren't trying to bully us. They themselves were trying to survive in a coercive society. And they were trying to protect us. But they were modeling the bullying that they got. And we just, all of us, have just so much trauma from not living in a safe and secure home and society and church where we were just accepted for who we are and we were allowed to be children, weak and vulnerable and needy and whiny and complaining and uneven and uncertain children. We don't get to have a childhood in this society. And so we grow up fragile, and then our coping mechanism for our own fragility is then coercion, because that is the definition of strength that we have in this crazy society. We're trying to be a church that is truly strong, strong in the way of Jesus. Jesus was strong inwardly. He always knew who he was. He was self-defined. Nobody defined Jesus. He defined himself because he knew who his father was. Rome was not his daddy. The temple was not his daddy. Joseph was not his daddy. He knew who his father was, and so he defined himself. And his strength allowed him to be warm and inviting and endlessly forgiving of exceedingly annoying disciples who never got it, even to the point of the cross. He was able to be exceedingly generous and welcoming and hospitable and forgiving because he was strong inwardly. He never countered coercion with his own coercion. So how do we become a community that is strong like that, strong like Jesus? And we want to control each other. We want us to behave in a certain way. We want some people to come, and we don't want some people to leave, and I feel all that too, and I feel my own weakness and my own grief. But we've all of us got to encourage each other to be strong like Jesus. We are all victims of this kind of coercion, and we can perpetuate it by going with the flow of the society around us and the families of origin around us that continue to operate through those power dynamics, or by faith together, love together, hope together, see if the Holy Spirit might not transform us from weakness to resilience, from coerciveness to strength. That is a radical transformation that if we actually were to reach a certain threshold of that kind of inner strength, would be a revolution in our family of origin. Most of us don't have that kind of strong figure in our families of origin. At least that's what I've seen in my pastoral ministry. So it's a really scary and pioneering thought. Can my faith be so deep? Can the power of Jesus Christ be so powerful that I can be converted from weakness and coercion to resilience and strength? That's the journey that we're on. And that's why our church is intimate and like a family, and at the same time completely open. And the people need to come and go as they see fit, because that's how Jesus was. And it's painful. And because we're like family, it's so painful when we lose some of our own. But it's not about how I feel. It's about advocating for one another. And people need to find their way with us and sometimes without us. And when we're advocating for the other, rather than trying to protect my own feelings and my own desire for what a community should look like, then I think the Holy Spirit gives us the kind of resilience we need to still be family and still grow through the pain. So I'm so grateful to be a pastor here. I don't know what they're saying about us at Princeton Seminary. We did get a lot of notoriety at Presbyterian University and Seminary in Seoul, but that's not important at all. I mean, who we are here, how we relate to each other, and whether we dare God to live into the promises of the gospel in our own lives. Even if we don't know of anybody in previous generations that have lived with that kind of gospel strength, with the resilience and the grace of Jesus Christ, even if we don't have an example of that, that we dare God to make us a new creation in that way, and let us be the blessing for future generations. The ones that future generations will look back and say, that person defined herself and himself in Jesus Christ and became a model of strength and resilience and grace and openness, and created a whole new dynamic and a whole new blessing for future generations. I mean, for us to raise our hand and say, yes, Lord, send me. yes, Lord, let me be that person, is a remarkable opportunity. We can't guarantee that that happens for us. We're just trying to create space where that kind of revolutionary change can happen for us. So that's why we're here. Thank you for being here. And I'm grateful for those who are here, and I'm grateful for those who are not here. I am absolutely confident that people are doing their best to be faithful to God. There is no definition of faithfulness that is reliable here in our midst. Only God knows. So we can, I think, be honest about our own pain and our own sense of loss. And at the same time, we have to remember that we are advocates one for another. And if someone is going to do better outside of our congregation, as we acknowledge the grief, we also need to trust God and celebrate for God's sake and see through God's eyes. Tough thing. But I'm grateful that we don't have to rely on our own strength, but that the Holy Spirit is here leading us. Amen. Let us pray.